It's in the Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, the last, about the third quarter of the book, that Stephen Dedalus presents his aesthetic theory. And since this is the aesthetic theory that really guided James Joyce, and since James Joyce was, not only in my opinion, but in the opinions of many others, including Thomas Mann, the greatest novelist of the first half of the 20th century, I feel no modesty in presenting his theory of aesthetics. I'm going to say at least it's good enough for the greatest writer of the century, and it ought to be good enough for you and me. He makes a distinction here between what he calls proper and improper art. Now, by proper, he means the first sense of the word, art that is really serving a function that is proper to art. Improper art is art serving functions that are not proper to art, but in some other service. Improper art is kinetic. Improper art arouses feelings of desire or loathing for the object presented. Art exciting desire, he terms pornography. Art exciting loathing, and telling you what you should not like, is didactic. Now, when you see advertisements, a beautiful automobile, or let's say a refrigerator, beside it a girl smiling, lovely face, you think, I'd love to have a refrigerator like that, and you buy the thing. Or photograph of a dear old lady, let's say Whistler's mother, and you look at it with pornographic eyes, and you think, I'd love to have tea with that dear old lady. She must have been a lovely old soul. That's pornography. Or you go into the rooms of people who like skiing, and you see mountains round about with snow on them, on the walls and pictures, and you think, I'd love to go skiing on that mountain. This is all pornography. Didactic is instruction in what you should not like. Sociological critical novels that are concerned to instruct you in what society should be like. These are didactic. They are in the service of sociology. And I would say since the days of Zola, most novelists have been didactic pornographers. They give us didactics with the pornographic coating so we can swallow the pill. Now, I remember once when I was young teaching, I was talking about this to a class, and one of the students said, well, what else is there? I thought, what's the use of teaching? Static is the word he uses to describe proper art. And in order to give a sense of what this stasis is, we call it aesthetic arrest. When you see something and you are arrested and looking at it, aesthetic means having to do with the senses, not with theories or not with zeal for something, but the pure aesthetic sense, enjoyment of the object, where the object becomes radiant of something. This is the moment of aesthetic arrest. Now, he uses Aquinas as his guide. You see, this is the way you must use teachers. Let them guide you to what you want. He doesn't stay with Aquinas. He lets Aquinas give him an idea that's got to carry him through. Aquinas speaks of three moments in the aesthetic experience: integritas, consonantia, and claritas, which Stephen translates wholeness, harmony, and radiance. Now, when you have an arrangement like that, what becomes important, and this is the great key to the aesthetic world, what is important is whether this one is here or here. The rhythm of beauty, the relationship of part to part, of part to the whole, and the whole to each of the parts. Now, you're writing a paper. You're writing, putting sentences down. You make your point all right. This is a didactic paper. You're talking about something. How do you turn it into something that somebody want to read again? By the rhythm of your prose. A good writer goes over and over and over his material. And he's interested in the balances and the echoes of sounds. all of these things that make no sense intellectually, conceptually, but really are what awaken some kind of thing within. And this is the mystery of art, that the rhythm that is presented awakens a resonance within ourselves so that there is a recognition. You're recognizing something of yourself projected out there. Now, as I said, the symbols of mythology are of the spirit reflected through matter. And I'm taking sheer matter here, and if I were any good, I could arrange this in such a way that you would look at it in ravishment, as one does with Van Gogh's picture of an old pair of shoes. The picture you would do with an old pair of shoes wouldn't do that. I had the pleasure of walking through an art gallery on the way here, and I did not stop in ravished attention, although there were lovely human beings that were there presented. But Van Gogh's old pair of shoes, do you get me? It's the rhythmical arrangement that makes the point. And when that has been well achieved, you have what he calls the enchantment of the heart. This is the ABCs of aesthetics, that the object presented is a unit within itself, that there is a rhythmical quality of organization that echoes something that captures and awakens something beyond the mere prose or the mere paint or the mere reference outside. The historical becomes itself a vehicle to something trans-historical, which is eternal in yourself. Through the passages of historic time, the same mystery is present, of consciousness manifest through the human organism, and so forth and so on.